Blog Talk Radio.
Shock Entertainment Report. It is election day, primary election day in the state of Mississippi, and I'm not sure what other states are voting today, but it is a big day in the state of Mississippi. They predicted a low turnout, but some polls have been having pretty good turnout. Where I voted, I arrived probably about 7:45. And I figured there would have been about 200, but I think they said about 35 people. And believe it or not, my vote, they were experiencing glitches with the ballot machines. And my ballot was the first one counted. I am so glad, too, because I, even though I am an experienced poll manager, too, I just, even as a poll manager, when I'm working with voters, I love to see it when the number is counted. But those that voted and they didn't see their number counted, their ballot counted, I mean, they will be counted. But I am so glad that my first question is always, how many voted? What number am I? So when it popped up, one, they're like, yours was the first one to be counted. I'm like, oh, woo-hoo, yay. But we have to 7 p.m. to vote. Cousin Linda's joining us today. And after the song, we will talk of the importance of voting. And I will do a run-through of the primary elections, the ballots, governor, Republican and Democrat, Lieutenant Governor, everybody that's running, those of you that haven't voted yet, you still have much time to get out and vote. And definitely do your best to know where your poll is. There are so many ways to search and find out. If you need a ride to the polls, a nonprofit organization by the name of Mississippi Move, just give them a call at 662-205-6683. The number is 662-205-6683. Again, for free rides to the poll, Mississippi Move is a nonprofit organization that is taking people to the polls to vote. 662-205-6683. Just give them a call and let them know that you want to rock your vote and need a ride. My music faded out. music. So passing the mic to Cousin Linda to discuss the importance of voting. She knows very well the importance of voting. Being a, what's the name that Brother Warren gave you, Cousin Linda? Civil rights foot soldier. She knows, she will share with you reasons why it's important to vote. And this is a universal topic wherever you are in the worldwide listening audience, reasons why it's important to vote in your community.
Yes, it is, because we didn't get out there and face all kinds of adversity for you to stay at home on election day. Vote if it's just for the dog catcher. Just exercise your right to vote. There are so many people in the world who don't have that opportunity. And in some countries where people vote, but they only have one person to vote for, and that's the dictator or whoever is in charge of the country. I remember when Saddam Hussein had an election in Iraq, and I couldn't help but laugh because he was the only candidate running. And when the people would vote, they would, yeah, they would proudly hold up their finger because you had to dip your finger in something like ink. And then you pressed your fingerprint on the ballot, I think. And then they would just, they were so proud when they would hold their finger up showing that they had voted, even though they didn't have but one choice.
Right.
So we take, yeah, we take it for granted because you don't have people these days who express to the uninformed what some of us had to go through just for the right to vote, because some people were killed trying to vote. And if you haven't seen the movie Selma starring Oprah Winfrey, go ahead and see that movie, because she could, the movie will probably be more entertaining than what Bethany and I are discussing, because some people don't want to read, don't want to do history. I can understand that. So if you want to get your information, you can go to YouTube, look at some documentaries, or just go to whatever streaming service or whatever you use and try and see if you can find the movie Selma somewhere and see what people had to go through in the United States of America, certain people, not everybody. Once upon a time, the right to vote was just for white men. Even white women didn't have to vote. They had to fight for it as well.
Right. Women's right. Yeah, women's right to vote. Women's right to vote. That's what that was all about, listeners.
Elizabeth Cady Stanton and her group were ostracized. I think some of them might have been put in jail because that was just a privilege given to white men in the United States. And a lot of times we don't have any reason or an excuse not to vote. Sometimes you can mail in your ballot. Your polling place is usually somewhere close to where you live, so you might be able to walk. And Bethany, I was playing videos when you were talking initially, so I didn't hear everything you said, but I think you were getting the number for people to call if they needed a ride to the polls.
Yes. Nor excuse not to have a ride either, because there are organizations in all of our community that will pick you up and wait and bring you back home. Right.
Yeah, and some places the public transportation system will allow you to use their transportation at no charge if you're going to vote. And even though one of the political parties has made it extremely difficult. Even I have difficulty now trying to determine where my polling place is, who's running. You know, it's just terrible over here what they've done in Texas, people from voting. But don't give up. Just be determined.
Over here, they have to change up locations because they might not be wheelchair-friendly. Are for different reasons. They have to, and so that confuses some people, some voters, because they go to where they thought their poll was located, and it's been last minute change to another facility because it didn't meet the requirements to help voters.
Yeah, and I think that if you are a senior citizen, as I am, and if you are a person who, for whatever reason, I'll just say disabled because that could cover a lot of things, we should be able to vote by mail. In California, my girlfriend votes online. She don't even have to leave her house for nothing. I have to go to my mailbox to get my ballot. She just picks up online and says, and look, be talking to me long distance while she's voting because she already knows who she's going to vote for. And she can just pull it up and click and talk to me and read and see stuff and, okay, I'm voting for so-and-so, so-and-so. Now, wouldn't that be nice if the state of Texas had that? I'd like nothing better than to vote online.
We would love that in Mississippi, too, right? Right. But these states are so paranoid also. They're like,
You can't stay in power forever. Even dictators have coup d'etats or coup de grace or whatever. I know there's a difference between the two, but I forget.
Right.
Yeah, people get assassinated. All kinds of things happen. You just can't stay in power forever unless you're a monarch or something and you don't have to worry about people trying to overthrow your throne like, what's his name, King Charles III of England.
Right.
I don't think he's in any fear of losing his throne, but he doesn't have any power, so to speak. His is mostly ceremonial. But there was conflict for the throne of England. If you go back and read world history or Western civilization, you'll find out that maintaining the throne in England hadn't always been easy. So Republicans and Democrats, independents, libertarians, or whomever, once you get in power, you're not there for life in a democracy. So if you've lost, if you didn't win the election, if it's real close and you want to challenge it, go ahead. But when it's determined that you lost, please go ahead and let the winner take the office.
Right. We see it locally. I mean, we even seen it last year with the for judges. I know my friend, that campaign, I supported my friend, Trent Walker and his wife, and well, Trent was couples I look at as a team. I campaigned and worked for them. I didn't get out on canvas with them. I didn't get a chance to, but their race came very close. Well, no, I won't say very close, but they were very concerned regarding all the polls turning in the vote, and that's the seat that. Oh, and my friend's wife ran for that spot, too. But that's where Deborah Gibbs won. I've always supported her, and she's hands-on in my district. Her son is running for her spot. But her opponents, let me cut to the chase and get my thoughts together, her opponents were concerned that maybe one of them had won, more so Trent Walker, because all the polls, stations had not turned their votes in. And then we had the guy who was trying to challenge Bennett Thompson. And he's a Republican, of course. I've mentioned it to you on the show and the listeners. Early on, my Republican friends had contacted me and asked me if I would campaign for him. And I said, well, I vote for Benny, for Mr. Benny on this. I can't campaign for him. Well, he felt that he had received more votes, and it took him a while too to concede against Benny Thompson, cousin Linda. when all the numbers show who is the true winner, go ahead and accept that. You know, accept it. Go ahead and concede.
Yeah, there's a song that says somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. So if you lose, you just lost. I mean, you put forth your best effort, you campaigned,
right.
you missed, and what you know, and maybe 2 years or 4 years, you might be able to run again and win. A friend of mine ran for judge 2 times and lost both times. I forget who he lost. I know one time he lost to Ms. Rita Stokes.
Uh-huh.
He was running for judge. Uh-huh. And I can't remember who he lost to the second time. Cause I didn't
who
think
was that,
he
was Mr. Sampson? What judge is that, Mr. Sampson?
Judge William Walker.
Oh, okay.
Did you know my friend William Walker?
I don't know him personally, but when I see his name, sometimes I wonder if he's related to my friend, attorney, and he's a judge too in Livingston. Is it Lexington, Mississippi? But I always wonder if they're related to one another.
I don't think so. He could be, but he never mentioned to me that he was related to anybody in Lexington.
Oh, so he's from Brandon, Trent is, but he's a judge in Lexington. Yeah.
No, so when
I see his name, but I don't think I know him personally. I've never really paid any attention to his pictures or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lost because I had posted a lot of his campaign information on Facebook and contacted friends of mine who would have been able to vote for him and everything. And so the next morning after the election, I had called him to see if he won, and he said, no, I got a shellacking. It was 4 people who were running for that office, that judgeship or whatever, and he came in 3rd. But it was no big deal.
Okay, well,
that was good. Yeah.
And, and so did he ever win another an election?
Mm-mm. No, he got appointed by Mayor. He was appointed to a municipal judge by Mayor Tony Yarber.
Okay, yeah, big support. Yeah, I love Tony Yarber as mayor. He was pretty good. But you know, besides the controversy and the scandals, but as a mayor, he did focus on things that he could handle.
Really? I thought he was too busy fighting lawsuits and stuff.
Exactly. But I'm saying he was focused on what he could handle. That's why I said it that way. He was good on what he could focus on outside of the distractions. I don't see how people could deal with those distractions. Oh, my God. True or not?
I'm telling you.
Lord.
He had enough of them. Mm-hmm.
Right. And plus a pastor, too. Running a church? Running a church.
Yeah, wolf in sheep's clothing.
Because when you do run and you do see that you're building your name, you're building your platform, and you're right, when you know you have given it your all and your team and your supporters give all. Now somebody's gonna remind me when I run for an office, but I better win my first and only time running for an office. But you don't be a sore loser. That you know, go like, okay, I accept this. I've learned a lot. This has been an experience. I do better next time. And you bring
exactly.
up a good point. My friend Patty Patterson. I just found out that she's running. She's one of the 4 that's running for Alice Clark's seat. Because, see, it's 2 lawmaker positions, District 72 and Alice Clark. I think her district is 67. And so Patty is running, and then another young lady, Tamara Butler, Washington, Alan Cole. I'm sure you know the Steptoe family. What's the
I don't know.
Oh, one of the Steptoe, they own Cook Funeral Home, her family, her dad.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, Steptoe. Because that sounds like a name you and the family know. You know Cook Funeral Home.
No, I just know Cook Funeral. I know Cook Funeral
right.
Home, but I don't.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but my friend Patty, she often runs for mayor. I know she and also city council positions, but I know she's ran in the last two mayoral elections, and
well,
she's running for Alice Clark seat too. So, don't give up. Keep running.
You know who else used to run a lot? Dorothy Benford, the late Dorothy Benford.
Exactly. She knew. That woman was very persistent. Yes.
Yes, she was.
Now, our family didn't know her, and yes, our family would say she's running again.
She ran up until her death, I say. She was about 80-something, and she is still run for office. So,
right.
Yeah, don't give up.
So, that's what Mama used to say, never give up. Mama used to say, when you do run, you make sure you run for a spot where you can get the money to the people. So, Cousin Linda, you advise me that, you know, I need to stay in good health and make some money, and supporters do tell me. Some people might say, what? But ever since I was a child, people have looked at it. I thought you had to be gray-headed to run for an office, but I see all these teenagers now. 18 and 19 years old, are mayors of cities and towns. I'm so proud of them.
Let me tell you,
and we have some young people in D.C. You know, they're still in college and paying for student loans.
Yeah, they had a young man over here in Denton County who ran for something, and he ran unopposed. He was 18 years old. I think this was back in the 90s. Yeah, and so when I was looking at the results of who had won what and who the opponent was, and I'm like, this young man was 18 years old and ran unopposed. I said, shoot, let me find me some political office to run for, but I didn't have the money to pay.
There was not a season of politician that said, I will run against this child. This child is not getting ready to get in office.
And I forget his name and all that, but I was just shocked when I found out he was running at that young age. I think he might have still been in high school and ran unopposed. And if I had some money, the filing fee or whatever you call it, I would have found me some kind of little office. Because there would always be people running unopposed in Denton County.
Right.
When I get the ballot, I'm like, who is this? They don't have any competition, so you might as well go ahead and vote for them. And then when I get the names that I don't recognize, if it's a Libertarian, I definitely vote for a Libertarian. And then if it's a Green Party, an Independent, I'm like, well, let me go and vote for the Green Party, or just whomever. You know, get the ballot, mark something for somebody.
Right. You can even write a name in, people. If you don't want to vote for the name that's typed in, the blanks are there for a reason. You can write in a name.
I should know
the question. I think some people write in their own names. I'm not
files.
Sure if that's right. But, yeah, maybe, you know, you read my mind. That's what I was about to say. You can write in Mickey Mouse or your dog name. You know, you can do that and do your best to study. At least know a little bit about, because that's one thing that voters do as poll managers and poll workers, and people that work in those positions cannot tell you who to vote for. Now, I will tell people like a little basic info and let them decide, well, what do you know, and I think that's okay, but we can't tell you who to vote for. We can't say when poll managers can't tell you who they voted for. So do your best to get your little cheat sheet too. And if you can't remember, you just can't share. You can't share with other voters. But you can go in there with your little fake sample ballots and with your little note of names written down.
When that information comes to you in the mail, go ahead and look it over and watch the commercial.
Right.
Because they are really advertising. I mean, I get text messages. I get stuff in the mail. and I don't pay any attention to it. And like I said, when I get the ballot, I'm like, who is this? But they sent a ton of information forward. But at least I'm doing my civic duty. I'm voting for somebody.
Right.
Now, you know, major offices, yes, I'm familiar with where the candidate stands. But like I said, some of these offices, I don't even know what they are and who's running for what and whatever. If it's a Democrat,
right.
I vote for a Democrat, I vote Democrat, and then if I can vote a straight Democratic ticket, I will. And sometimes you don't have any choice, whatever the election
I'm glad you
is.
Mentioned that because it's primary, and I voted with my Republican primaries. And, it was so hilarious, too, because I'm standing in line, and I'm standing in line and I was waiting, and it was numerous people waiting to go into the Democrat line. Then it dawned on me, I have my Democrat friends that I want to vote for too. So I really don't like primaries because we have to go straight ticket, those of us that like the zigzag.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm like, my Democrat friends, I want to vote for my friends. So look, my poll manager was sitting out by herself. She was looking down. I think I walked up to her, and she was so glad to see a voter. She looked up. She pulled her glasses up. She grabbed her pen. She was so happy. I was like, did I surprise you? She said, well, I was told one or two coming in. I'm like, I know they told you I was coming. And she was like, and it was just so hilarious because I was on one. And it was just funny. But we also were saddened that more people had not been yet also. But it was a line. It was a line for the Democratic primaries. But, it's a sad day for me when it's primaries because some of my Democrat friends I can't vote for.
My polling place one time was at an apartment complex around the corner from me. And so when I pulled up and the polling place was inside the leasing office, and there were just cars everywhere. So I had to park in some tenant's parking space, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I don't want to do this, but I don't have any choice. Yeah. So I parked in front of somebody's apartment because they're townhouses. And so when I got inside the leasing office, and I looked over in there in the area where they had all the poll, the voting booths set up. There was nobody in there. There were two polling people. And I said, well, where are all the voters? I said, because there was not a parking space, you know, right there in front of the leasing office, which was supposed to be reserved for us voters. And like you said, it was two people. I guess they probably were husband and wife or whatever. And they were so glad to see me. They were like, nobody has been in here. And that was about 11 o'clock in the morning when I went. But they said nobody had come. And I said, well, who was in
the parking lot for? Were those the tenants' cars?
The people that live there, the people that live there had taken up the voters' parking space or the parking spaces that were reserved for voters.
And look, any other day, they probably would be, they would be at work or somewhere, gone out running.
Either in their own parking space. So, they wouldn't have been there.
Right.
But, and this couple, and I had on a t-shirt from somewhere I had visited. I don't know if it was Paris or Hawaii or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so busy talking to me. I said, they must be mighty lonely up in here. Because the way they kept on talking to me, And so I got my little ballot, and they were still talking and carrying on. Because I'm like, I guess they want to talk because ain't nobody in here, and they're tired of talking to each other. But I must have been in there about 15 minutes, and nobody came the whole time.
But it is fun working. If you've never been a poll manager, you should sign up to be a poll manager. It's a long day. It's a long, long day, but it is fun, and you meet interesting people and have fun conversations.
Nah, I'll pay.
Because it is a long day. That's a long day.
Y'all are volunteers?
Oh, it's paid. Poll managers are paid, and poll workers.
Oh, okay. I thought that was volunteer work.
No, you get some green. You get some green, Cousin Linda. You get paid.
Oh. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I might check into that.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, you're going to have me looking up Denton County and Dallas and all. But, yeah, you get paid.
Okay. I just thought that was volunteer.
That's work. That's work. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know jurors got paid on my info that I would get paid, but jurors get paid too. You do jury duty. I thought it was our civic duty. But over here it used to be $6 a day and free transportation to the courthouse. But, honey, the free transportation is worth it. Like, if you live where I live, trying to get down to downtown Dallas is horrible. If you try to get out there on the bus, because I'd have to take 3 buses. And if I were only going on the train, I'd have to probably take 2 buses to get to the train station. And it ain't worth it. And jurors didn't get paid but $6 for that entire day. Now, I don't know if you are chosen for the jury if it goes up, which I doubt. But where you have to go to the courthouse, it is horrible to go through all that trouble to be there all day long, not get chosen, and get $6.
Right.
No wonder folks don't want to go be no juror.
I see some places pay $40, but I hope whenever I do get called again that it's not no $6. But that's not even much.
And that was something else. We had to buy lunch. Because, see, some people, they'll call in, like, as soon as court starts. Maybe they're there from 8 to 8:30 or 8 to 9. Well, they get to go home.
I'm thinking they hear the buffet set up.
No.
I'm thinking I'm missing getting paid in a buffet.
Not over here. You have to go find your own food, honey. So that little $6, that ain't nothing. And I know when I used to get off work at 2:30 in the afternoon. And so I was like, okay, because I had to be there, I think, at 8 o'clock that morning. So from 8 to 2:30, I'm like, okay, this is like being at work. But then I didn't get out until 5 o'clock and did not get chosen. So that's like, if I had worked, I would have gotten paid overtime from 2:30 to 5. But since I'm up to some stinky jury duty, I didn't get paid for that. It was just a waste of my time. And having to get up and try to get to work, get to the courthouse. So these courthouses over here are not close to me. They're not convenient.
Oh, and they're hard to find. And they're hard to find. I went to a court date once with a loved one, a couple, and it was like Harwood. Is that Harwood Street or whatever? It's hard to find. Then you go through so much. Just go in. Oh my God!
I had to go to the federal building, the Earl Campbell building, and there's no parking close by. And so I rode the bus, and I had to take 2 buses. And coming back that evening at 5, I almost missed that bus because they had kept me all day long. And if I had missed that bus, I don't know how I would have gotten home because I didn't know anybody to call. I didn't have enough money on me. At that time, you had to pay the taxi cash. I didn't have enough money to pay cash, so I don't even know if I had cash in my apartment. And
when you said that, I'm thinking some listeners are thinking cash because we do everything from our phones nowadays.
Back then, because when you got on the bus, you had to put your money in that little machine thing. Used to be long time ago, you gave your money to the bus driver, and then they came up with that little machine where you put your money in the machine. But, yeah, I was like, Lord, thank you that I caught that last bus coming up to my part of town. And it was dark when I got. Oh, it was just terrible, terrible.
So I'm glad we got on that subject, listeners, because we have the primaries. And do you know what other states have primaries today? Usually I check to see who else. And I haven't seen anything on the news. But I see what Ohio is voting on a pro-life, pro-choice initiative. It's a big deal regarding abortion. I think they're voting on an initiative. I don't know if it's today. I think it might be for November, but they're trying to build up momentum on both sides, the pros and the antis.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. They might be voting today, but I think that's the only other state that I've seen talking about voting. But I'm glad you mentioned that. Listeners, your election commission circuit clerks need you. And they do pay. And they do pay you to become a poll manager, contact candidates that need poll workers. Those are the people that you see in the parking lot holding signs and watching. Because you definitely have to watch. That's serious business, watching for fraud and watching what people do, too, Cousin Linda. Things that you work hard for, what to vote. There are people that will really try to do, well, you already know this, because you mentioned it, shiesty things. That's what poll workers are for. They have to, they will sit there and watch. And sometimes, police need to be called. Law enforcement need to be called because some people break the law when it comes to the voting process. But contact your election commissions, you all. And many people, I don't think, realize that you get paid to be a poll manager, a poll worker. You get paid, and a lot of times you get treated good when it comes to lunch, or you can bring your own lunch because everybody don't like to eat everybody's, if they order catering, you might not want catering. So, like Cousin Linda mentioned, get your own, or a lot of times the candidates or certain people will come through because those are long days. But you do get paid. You do get paid. You pay for your gas mileage also. So you do get paid. So contact your poll stations and let the your election commissions and your circuit clerk offices and let them know you will like someone to contact you to let you become a poll manager. That way you're helping people and at the same time you're getting paid and you meet so many people from different walks of life. Like Cousin Linda mentioned, she talked to that couple for 15 minutes. And when Terry and I got together, he used to work with me on poll as a poll manager, and he loved it. He was like, this is different because people will come. Either you get the single voters, you get the whole families. I love it when you see the whole families come in. And it's just amazing to talk with people and just share the political process with others. I love first-time voters. I love first-time voters. I wish I had balloons when first-time voters walk in to hand them and celebrate. Or people that haven't voted in a long time. And, then, of course, foot soldiers like you, Cousin Linda. When people that you probably march with, when the civil rights people come in, oh, my God, it's like holy ground. Oh, my God, I'm not worthy.
Oh. Well, we're just glad that we were able to do something to help get our vote, to help people vote.
Any voter in line at 7 p.m. is
I'm pulling up some information on Mississippi voting.
Like, that's what, not me. You know how I am when I'm pulling up stuff.
Yeah, it's still plenty of time for voters in Mississippi Well, not plenty of time. They got 2 hours. You all close at 7,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just posting some information on Facebook in case people hadn't seen or didn't know who to vote for or who's running or whatever.
Right. And I tagged a couple of, right before the show, I tagged you on a couple of guys. And my apologies, you all, because I had posted me to today's guy, and I didn't post Jackson Free Press, which is our equivalent to Dallas Observer. I had not posted their guy. And then I was looking at the ballots, the different districts, and my ballot, I know I voted for everybody I'm supposed to have voted for, but I didn't. But I'm like you. Be sure. And I've had this situation as a poll manager too. And then, but they had me thinking, wait a second, did I vote for everybody on the backside? But I didn't really have. I didn't see anybody on my backside. But always flip over your ballot and make sure.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure. And also make sure that it's signed at the bottom, too, by the poll person, the poll manager, whoever you handed you the ballot. Make sure. Because when I had sat down, the poll manager, she ran over. She was like, I need to put my signature. I was like, you sure do so it can count. And she put her signature on the back. So make sure it's signed and make sure you flip it over. And make sure it's the right ballot, too. Because sometimes there's mix-ups at these poll stations. I have experienced that where they had to hurry, the bosses, the circuit clerks and the big bosses, they had to hurry and get the right ballots to the location. So if you're one of those early people, always make sure, like one of the first people that vote, make sure your ballot's right also. Because, you know, you might catch something that the workers haven't even caught.
I didn't know it was that serious. I just assumed everything.
Why? Because we live in different districts and different candidates are running for different offices in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes there's a slip-up. Human error. But the two elections that they're really paying attention to, the Tennessee governor's race and our sheriffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our sheriff's race, Hines County.
What's going on with the lieutenant governor?
But that's the race that's really the talk of the media. Devin Hoseman, he's an incumbent, and that's who I voted for. And Chris McDaniels, he is the candidate who's mostly, back when it was the Tea Party, you know, he's the one that used to, he's the one that when it was had to dealing with Thad Cochran, remember all that controversy back in like 2012, 2013? Yeah, so Chris McDaniels, he's one of our lawmakers. So he's running. And then a young lady, an African-American, is running on the Republican ticket. She's a teacher, a professor in Brandon. Her name is Tiffany Longinot. And I know our family know a lot of Longinots. I always hear y'all talk about the Longinots. I wonder if she's related to any of those Longinots I used to hear our family talk about. She's running. And but they're looking at the battle between our incumbent and Chris McDaniels, because campaigns are throwing mud at each other, and Chris McDaniels is saying that Lieutenant Governor Delbert Hoseman is really a Democrat, and because he appoints and he hires Democrats, but he's a bipartisan leader, and that's what I like about him. He doesn't go straight down the line. He puts the people before anything, and so when he deals with Democrats who are his friends also, he look at how can we solve this problem. You know, we can't solve the problem just You know, and so I didn't even know people were calling him Rondo, but that's what Chris McDaniels is doing. And then, Cousin Linda, if Chris McDaniel is running on, you would definitely not vote for him if he was a Democrat, probably. He brags about being endorsed by all the Trump organizations. Anything that has Trump associated to anything that has that name. And see, he's messing up in that area because all Republicans and Democrats that are crossing the line do not could care less about Trump.
Right.
You know, so he thinks that is, talk about the work that you're going to do. Don't be talking about who endorsed you. And it's definitely not Trump.
Well, I tell you, before Trump, politicians used to make all these promises, you know, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. But after Trump, it's, I'm coming after you. And you did this to me, and you did that to me, and this is unfair. I won the election. I'm like, well, what happened to the politicians that used to make promises? I'm going to fix this and fix that, so-and-so. Talk about the issues. At least talk about something that you would make me want to vote for you. You know, you're going to fix the potholes. You're going to install streetlights in my neighborhood. There's going to be more police presence in my neighborhood. I don't care about you fell out with the Department of Justice and you think the judge is unfair and all that. No, that doesn't concern me. That's your problem. You deal with that. I'm a citizen. I want to know what are you going to do for my community and if, you know, if it's a state office, what are you going to do for the state or the country?
You remind me of Diana Ross' character on Mahogany. When she yelled out to Billy Dee Williams' character about, well, what about my children? oh, my God, I love one of my favorite scenes, and I can't think of it. What about my 100 children at home? Whatever she said, you sound like Diana Ross and Sid Mahogany. You had me watching Mahogany tonight.
That was the reason I voted for certain politicians based on their promises. Now, a lot of times it's strictly part. But when, you know, if you can get up there and tell a real good lie, because most politicians lie, I hate to say this, but they know they be lying. They're making all those promises because half of them they can't carry out because it's not something that one person can do. But that's what you look for because remember, you are way too young to remember because even I wasn't born, I don't think, when somebody was running for president. It said, what was it, a car in every garage and two chickens in every pot. And that's what
Oprah, look. Somebody had that Oprah vibe, huh? You get a car, get a car, huh?
Yes, a car in every garage and two chickens in every pot. And that just tickled me.
What I'm talking about. You got my vote. Because let one of these politicians say they're going to pay us reparations as soon as they get sworn in. You got my vote.
Amen.
All that who it is. Like you said, if it's Mickey Mouse say, we're going to pay reparations. What's going to be one of the first things I do when I get in office? Oh, you got my vote. You better keep your word.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I don't like the mud slinging. Because, you know, within today's media-saturated world, we already know what's going on with folks because somebody has posted something somewhere. It's on the news media. So you don't need to sling mud. We know what you are doing and what your opponent is doing. So tell me what you're going to do to benefit me and my community.
Because something happened to me, and I mentioned to Mom, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't run for office. I said, because when I run for office, it's going to come out, Mom. And Mom was like, run anyway. So don't be surprised. When I do run for office, it's going to be a little scandal, but it's not going to be bad. Mom said, run anyway.
Well, I'm like, I can't run for office because they'll go back to when I was in the second grade and I did this, that, and the other. And when she was in kindergarten, she was a kindergarten dropout and so on.
Oh, my God. Mom used to tell me, Mama used to have me laughing about you and Beverly dropped out of kindergarten, I think.
Kindergarten dropout. Yeah.
I used to have Mom tell the story over and over again, too. It was so funny.
Yes,
she
yes.
said, yeah. She said, Beverly dropped out. And she said, matter of fact, your cousin Linda, too. Beverly said, and then when I mention it to Beverly, Beverly would say, yeah, that woman was mean. Cousin Linda and I had
she
a reason.
So she was so mean and hateful, it was a crying shame. I used to pass right by the kindergarten and go through the cemetery and come over to your mama's house. Get over there next door to each other. And I'd stay there until kindergarten. I think kindergarten got out at 2:30, and at 2:30 I'd leave, go back home, just like I've been at school all day, shooting hookies. And finally, I told my mama, I just can't go back. I just can't.
Woo! So Cousin Linda, they go all the way back to kindergarten.
Yeah. They be pulling up all my stuff.
I thought you were gonna say on one of your worldwide trips, but you said kindergarten. That's your, so you definitely gonna run. You don't have any scandals.
I thought
you were gonna say, well, my night in Barcelona.
I might have some scandals during my travels that I just don't remember. I hope not.
Oh my God! You
will see pictures of me with different guys or whatever on some of my travels, and people are like, who was that? And I'm like, well, that's so-and-so. And so I met him. I was walking down the street, and he asked me if I wanted to go drink beer. And I said, yeah, that's why you kept going over there to see that man. So that just happened to be
like
somebody.
Like Hawaii, you mentioned 4 trips in 13 months, and you do have some sexy pictures in Hawaii.
Yeah, people around here talking about you went back to see that man. No, nope, none of that. And them men be taking come over there. I wish. No, I didn't get that lucky. One guy did claim he was in love with me and wanted to marry me when me and Laverne were in Paris, and we were the hotel where we were staying was really nice, and it had I guess like a mall, for lack of a better word, inside the hotel. It was about 4 or 5 stories of shops. And so Laverne and I, it was one night, we were just window shopping. So here comes this guy that walks up to me and, you know, starts holding my hand and asked me what was my name.
Ooh,
and I
so
told
romantic.
Him. Yeah, and he told me his name. And so he said, Linda, I love you. I want to marry you. And so Laverne started laughing. I said, you don't even know me. You just met me. He said, I know, but I love you, Linda. I love you. I want to marry you. Get rid of your friend and tell her to go away.
Oh!
Laverne said, okay.
So you could have come back. Was he French?
He was Italian. He said he was Italian.
Oh, well, see, you could have come back with your Italian husband that you met in Paris. Oh, my God. You're talking about a novel.
Yeah.
London's Adventure.
But look, and I did have Laverne take a picture of me and him, and she posts it from time to time because it pops up in her memories. It pops up in her memories, and it pops up in my memories, and we still laugh about it. I said, yeah, I guess he thought he was going to marry me and get some U.S. citizenship or something. I love you, Linda. I love you. I love you, Linda. I mean, you don't even know me. And just
that man probably owned the hotel with the malls in it. We could have been in the back. That man probably owned the hotel.
Yeah, right. If he owned the hotel, he wouldn't have been out there trying to latch on to me. And talking like that. Get rid of her. Get rid of your friend. I'm like, I'm not getting rid of my friend. Okay, I'll leave. Laverne, don't leave me. Please don't leave me.
And Linda met her an Italian in Paris.
Yeah, had known him all of 5 minutes, maybe. I can't even remember his name. He told told me his name, and I forgot. And then we met some guys from Lydia. Our hotel also had a discotheque. And the guys that we met, one was a pilot and one was a flight attendant. So I was sitting with the pilot, and Laverne was with the flight attendant. And we were having a nice time and everything. So when we got ready to go to our room, the flight attendant decided he wanted to walk me and Laverne to our room. And we were like, okay. And so when we got to our room and opened the door, he was going to try to come in with us. We were like, oh, no, no, you can't come in there. I don't know what you're thinking, but no, you cannot come in our hotel room.
Oh, right. Wow.
But yeah, somebody, you know, that gets to digging and hunting and scratching in the background. Yeah, she picked these men up on these vacations. Mm-mm. These are folks I took some pictures of.
Right. Either natives or fellow travelers.
Natives and people from other countries. Because that's
right.
What I was saying. You know, I miss all of that from traveling back in the day as opposed to traveling now. Yeah, I don't really meet people. Everybody is into their own thing. They're not about trying to converse with you or get to know you or nothing like that. In my last, I would say last 15, 16 years of travel, but back then, before all of this social media and personal access, you just met people. And one thing I liked about Europe, when you would go into a restaurant, they didn't necessarily seat you by yourself or if it's two people or whatever. They would seat you with other people. And then you just talk to nearly everybody in the world speaks English. And, you know, when they seat you with these other people, you strike up conversation and get to know folks. And, of course, everybody wants to know about America, and you'd want to know about their country. And it was just really nice just having dinner or lunch with people from around the world. But now nobody wants to even look at you. They want to do their own thing. They're on a cell phone.
Wow. Right. And that's weird because, and that's not dealing with just traveling. That's dealing with society. Social media have changed a lot. It's changed a lot in a good way. We're connecting and reconnecting with people that we probably would not meet or know. But then also, people are lonely. People are lonely. A high number of people are lonely in the world, in America, in the world. So many people are lonely. So you're right. And it's because why? Probably because we don't interact with one another.
Yeah, I love the fact that we can connect with people from our past, like people that I went to school with who I wouldn't be in contact with now. And I'm so glad that we have Facebook. And for those
right.
of you who use Instagram and all that other kind of stuff and TikTok and what have you. But I am really
right.
glad to connect with my classmates from 40, 50, 60 years ago, that's possible. And because I was on classmates.com prior to Facebook, and just the fact that I could contact people or people could contact me from my past, I really, really enjoy that. But you
right.
do have, like you said, Bethany, all these lonely people, because when you look at the news and they show these women and men who let people cheat them out of hundreds of thousands of dollars and sometimes
wow.
a million. They met somebody online. They're looking at a picture, and it's not even the person that they are communicating with. And then there's so
Correct.
Stuff about, well, my wife, next door neighbor's niece is having surgery, and she needs $20,000. And then the next time they talk, well, the surgery wasn't successful. We need $30,000 more.
Right.
And the women don't realize that they're being bamboozled until they've spent all of their life savings. And then that's when, you know, the so-called love match ends. And I said, can you really be that stupid, and I don't think it's stupid. It's just people are that lonely and desperate.
People
and
are lonely,
Yeah, yeah, they want to be loved. That's part of being a human. You want to be loved, but not so badly that you want to let people take advantage of you.
Right.
When people start asking
for money, that's a red good. I mean, it's part, amazing part of social media. Alan Levy, the creator of Blog Talk Radio, is like, well, this was one of the first platforms for podcasts, if not the first. And he created it because of his sick dad. So all of his family members and friends would be in touch and know what was going on with his dad. But you're right. We social media is here to stay, but then at the same time, loneliness have come out of it because people don't have true, genuine, authentic people-to-people, face-to-face contact.
Yeah, you know, all these dating services and dating apps, and most people put up fake pictures or a picture from 30 years ago, and they're lying about their background, because some of them, you know, are serial killers or sex perverts. You're just taking a chance, whereas if you got a chance to meet somebody at your church or at work or school or maybe
at the grocery store,
you
know, you get a chance to get a good vibe. You get a chance to get a good vibe or a bad vibe or something. And like my mom, and I'm sure your mom used to believe the same thing, the eyes are the window to the soul. You get a true look into each other's eyes.
Some people
can fool us in person by looking in the eyes too, but a lot of times we can we know our intuition can really kick in.
Right.
If we want to ignore the red flags, that's on us. But our intuition it lets us know.
My first red flag is if you ask me for some money, I don't care if it ain't but 10 cents.
Right.
I got to go, son. If you asking me for money, And then they be all foreign countries.
And also intimacy. And also intimacy. You be like, wait a second. You know, there's a way, there's a respectful way to even do that.
Yeah, I worked with a young lady who was engaged to some guy in Paris. And I believe that she was actually engaged to this man in Paris. Because she talked about her fiancé every day at work. And somebody kind of had to pull me aside and say, you know he's married. And I said, I'm like, he's married, yes, and has three children. So I'm saying, why does Debbie think she's engaged to be married to somebody that lives in Paris that has a wife and three children? But I think she was just so desperate that that's what she wanted to believe. Of course, they broke up because I don't work for that company anymore. But before I left, they had broken up. And I don't know what the reason was, but I never could understand. And, you know, when you talk to Debbie, you would have thought she
maybe
was an intelligent
person. Maybe her eyes opened that he's not leaving his wife and he's not moving to America, and she definitely was not moving to Paris.
Right. But, I mean, you know, like I said, she was an excellent worker. She was almost a team lead. And she knew the job inside out. And I'm thinking this is some kind of intelligent person. And I would have continued thinking that until I found out that the man was married with three children. And, you know, I thought it was kind of odd that her fiancé was in Paris, but she didn't go into it. So, you know, that's plausible. But then,
because people have reasons to be in around the world. You know, stuff at work. People have, you know, reasons. So, that's believable.
Yeah, plausible. But, when she started telling us about this, the way we were sitting, you know, it was very easy to be talking to other coworkers. But she wasn't just telling me this. She was telling, I think it was about six of us.
I wonder why only certain ones knew he was married. Because she never did let you know he was married.
No, everybody knew he was married. I didn't know, because I was kind of like the last person on that group that was hired. Every day when she would come to work, it was my fiance this and my fiance that.
Well, even the married women should have at least said to her, you know, that man is not leaving his wife.
Girl, you can't tell. When somebody thinks that they have something going on, no amount of what you tell them. You can't reason
fiance,
with them.
Yeah, just because of being in that side, what the kids call it nowadays, the side piece. She should have been content being the side piece. She should have just my boyfriend. He's not just fiance. He's not the boy. And I've seen where celebrities, soon to be ex husband, have announced he's engaged. And the I can't think of who the celebrity is. It might be one of the Real Housewives or somebody. But I just seen this story this week, and you probably have seen this story. I mean, she thought it was so tacky for her soon-to-be ex-husband to propose to his girlfriend, and then the posting all on social media, he's with his fiance, and he's not even divorced yet.
Yeah, I saw that on TMZ yesterday. But
yeah, what celebrity is that? Is that a Real Housewife?
I don't know, because you know I don't watch Real Housewives, and half of these folks that they be talking about.
You watch TMZ. You watch TMZ, though.
Yeah, but
I can't remember
the names. That's what I'm saying. They have so many stories about so many celebrities.
The show did conclude, and I want to give people more information, but they know that I want to conclude with giving people the info, but I'm getting ready to click and watch and see what's going on with the elections before our national news come on. And I'm going to come on a little earlier tomorrow at 10 o'clock if you want to join or not, but I'm going to be talking about No Labels. I'm going to be talking about No Labels because, you know, I am the co-chair for No Labels, and so I'm going to be talking about that booklet that I sent out to many of y'all. We have I have an important meeting tomorrow, so I'll still be on at 11, but I'm going to come on an hour early so I can run through some No Labels stuff.
Okay. If I remember
that,
So you're welcome to join,
but I'm going to be talking about No Labels from 10 to 11.
Okay, well, I may wait till 11 then.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because the leaders did tell me that they agreed to come on the show in the near future, too. So that's probably in September or something like that, or October, up in the fall. But I'm going to talk about No Labels from 10 to 11. Then we start at our usual time.
Oh, okay.
And talk about the results from the election also. But, you know, this World Wednesday tomorrow, so we talk about the hot topics, because I am just amazed at that Montgomery, Alabama brawl and some other stuff that's been happening.
Yeah.
That Montgomery, oh, my God, that is just amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad them black folks came to that brother's rescue.
Right. So they had a press conference a couple hours before we came on the air, and oh, my God. Yeah. But I didn't know what Ricky Smiley was talking about early in the morning. Then last night, you all's leader in Houston, what's her name, Candace Matthews, she tickled me on TikTok. She has on TikTok on Monday, she does Messy Mondays. And she tickled me talking about it. But one of my friend's wives, a rapper in Denver, Colorado, she's Hispanic. And she had posted a video because Ricky Smiley was like, well, they're going to take the video down and put it on my website. And I never did get to his website. So I was so glad when my friend's wife posted it. And I'm like, wow. But did you because it looked like I seen two events. See, like another event happened somewhere. But you know what? I thought about Geraldo Rivera's shows from the 90s, the late 80s, when his guest predicted this was going to happen.
When he predicted what?
when his guests predicted, and they even had a brawl on Geraldo's show, remember, in the 90s or the late 80s, and his guests predicted, black folks are not going to take this from white people, and it's going to be a race war that we're going to be fighting.
Oh, yeah, well, we've always fought that, always. You know, it's just that I think we are in more of a position to fight back now, because white folks used to have all the weapons, you know, black people used to not have access to weapons, and they could get away with that, attacking black people, and black people, you know, were afraid to fight back, but not anymore, especially these young ones.
And social media, the people that videotaped the brawl, they were the ones that the commentators, they had me cracking up. They're like, oh, no. Have you watched the video?
I saw it before it hit the national news, because I get
I never did see it on national news. I still haven't seen it on national news.
It's been on the little headline. It's been on Morning Joe. It's been on Late Night. It's been on everything. Because like I said, I saw it before it actually hit the air. I got it in a newspaper article. And when I clicked on the article, that's when the video popped up. And so I shared it on Facebook. I posted it on Facebook. And then, because I really didn't think that much of it, and when I saw it on the evening news, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm glad I did post this, because I didn't think it was that important. Folks be fighting all the time. But I guess it was because it was a black thing, and all these folks jumped the poor black guy and looked like he was going to have to try to fight them off himself until all these black folks came and got in, and some white folks went into his rescue.
Well, was that the same event when the young man was swimming across the pool?
Yeah. That brother was mad. I got to go help the brother out.
And look, Ricky Smiley, if you haven't seen it, Ricky Smiley was saying, I'm going to do an interview with the chair. So I watched that today. But I didn't know what, because I think I had seen it. I'm like you. I thought it was just like the normal stuff that be happening. But, oh, my God.
Well, somebody was saying, it might have been Nate Burleson on CBS. Somebody was saying, yeah, they say black folks can't swim, but that brother was swimming. he might have been somebody on TMZ, because, like I said, I have seen it so many times since it happened.
And the people that were filming it, oh, my God, they're commentating. Oh, the way they were commentating it, it just amazed me. Better than any boxing match. You and I love boxing matches. They need to turn into sportscasters.
And they might.
They were, y'all have messed up now because y'all was wrong.
I bet you won't do that no more. Yeah, arrest this, folks. Mhm. But I'll let you go on and watch.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, it's time for our David Muir. I still have it on NBC. Cause I do watch Lester Hawks a little bit, especially when David's off. I'll watch him a little.
I'll flip over there if I don't want to see the last little happy story on ABC.
I love both of their happy stories. Right. America's Strong.
Yeah, Lester Hope was looking kind of real skinny the other day when I flipped over. I was wondering if there was something wrong with him, because he was just looking too thin. I don't know if it was the camera or what. He just didn't look like himself.
Working too much. Time for that vacation.
Yeah, you know how they folks be scared to take a vacation, think they won't have a job when they get back.
Especially that spot.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So see what's going on with this poll. I think they're talking about the lottery. They're talking about the lottery drawing. So We need to talk about the lottery. Like you said, you have been doing research on the do's and don'ts, and I'm always well researching too, looking at that. So we need to talk about that soon regarding lottery winners and the do's and don'ts.
Mm-hmm.
And the history of those that invested their money good, and so many lose their money in just a couple of years. And if I'm ever a lottery winner, ever get it, when I get any money, I don't want to lose it. Yes. Some of them lose that money, and sometimes I hear there's a curse. There's like a lottery winner curse, and nobody want to get that curse. But if you do the do's and don'ts like you had mentioned, everybody should be okay. Save, invest, and you know, don't go too crazy unless it's like $1.25 billion. Then you can go a little crazy.
You don't have but $400,000 or $500,000. Just set it aside for a good while. Take care of your immediate necessities and let that money grow interest. And then once you've got enough interest to buy what you want, just take the interest. Don't touch the principal.
Right. And I know, just give me my cash value. Just forget all that payment. You just give me my my lump sum cash value. Uncle Sam. And you're right about financial advisors. I always like to hire a financial advisor. Just use some common sense. And you're right, you need to know who the financial advisor is, because you don't want them taking it either.
I don't need a financial advisor. Why should I pay you to tell you what to do with my money? I know how to go to Dow Jones Industrials, Wall Street. I know how to research. So if I want to invest, I will invest in what I want to invest in.
Look, which is paying them, and plus they're sliding it in their pocket and pocketbook.
Yes. And then you have so many fees. Like if you buy stock or invest in stock and whatever, you already got to pay the organization that's handling like your 401K, and then the government is getting money. Then you know how the stock market fluctuates, and let me just put you over here in a safe account and just draw interest. That's all you need to do. But I'm going to go on and let you go, so you can check out.
Yeah, because it's right at 5:30. Okay, thank you. God bless. Yeah, that was a good prayer you said, and I sure was thinking next thing for Tuesday, we talk about the difference between spiritual and religion, and you mentioned that. I'm not from a religious family, but we believe in prayer. And I'm that's definitely right.
Mm-hmm.
Some people too caught up in religion, and it blocks the blessings.
Very much into religion rather than spiritual. All righty, well, I'll hear you in the morning on the prayer line.
Okay, we'll be talking on Facebook and text message.
Okie doke. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Love you.
You're welcome. Love you, too.